Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. This week, Aaron picked the movie that we're going to watch. Unfortunately, we have to watch another Don Bluth movie. Would you like to introduce it to us, Aaron?
It is called Rockadoodle, a ridiculous romp about a rooster that acts like Elvis, and his name is Chanticleer. That's
all
it.
Right. And we're done. Let's go watch the movie.
No, there's something about an owl, and there's like a little girl chicken with boobies, I think. And
of course, because Don Bluth loves putting boobies on things.
Yeah. So I really honestly don't remember the plot. I do know that it's inspired by the Canterbury Tale, which I didn't make that connection until I had to read them in high school. And there's literally a story about a rooster named Chanticleer. And there's a bad old owl in this, a bad old owl. I think Chanticleer goes off to be famous, I don't know, loses his soul on the way or something. I don't know. Wow. The end.
Well, the voice of Chanticleer is Glenn Campbell, who, according to IMDb, is most known for True Grit and then singing in a lot of movies.
Yeah, he's I think that's the only thing I'm familiar with about this movie. I grew up, my mom listened to a bunch of country music, so like Galveston and some other stuff he did. He did a documentary was made about the end of his life called I'll Be Me, because he passed away from Alzheimer's, and so it was kind of him going through the end of his life in that way. I've always meant to watch that documentary, but don't know much about Rockadoodle itself, though. Christopher Plummer voices something in this movie. There's another big actor.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't remember the plot, so I'll be interested to see what it is. But I do remember the stakes being like weirdly very high at the end for what seems like a conflict between birds. So I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sure, I'm positive with it being a Don Bluth movie that we're going to get really long scenes of nature that are not moving the plot forward at all. We're probably going to get some songs.
Yeah.
And some characters with much too large breasts. And what else? really hectic action scenes that are hard to follow.
Apparently, this came out in 91. It came out in between All Dogs Go to Heaven from 1989 and then Thumbelina, 1994.
That one's also messed up. I remember more of that one. They try and get her to marry a mole.
I think I remember seeing that when I was a kid.
Marry the mole. But yeah, I really don't. I remember liking this. I don't remember what it's about. So I guess I'm interested to see.
Well, I will say this in Aaron's defense. When I've explained VCR Kids to people, a movie that does appear, you know, because people immediately go, oh, have y'all watched this? Have y'all watched that?
Space Jam, a lot of times.
Yeah, Space Jam for sure. But one of the more common ones, surprisingly, is Rockadoodle. So people do remember this movie.
Yeah, but you know, it's like it's the perfect one of like you see it when you're a kid, you like it, you've got it in your brain, but you on it like do I remember details about it? And y'all know I remember details about a lot of stuff. No, I don't. I have no idea what's coming. So I think people are like, what about that thing?
Oh man. If Aaron doesn't remember details about it, that means it's gotta be terrible.
you know why I think I do remember details so well? Because when I was a kid, we had like this obsession of like you put the VCR in and you watch it multiple times. Like you don't just watch it once.
Put the VHS in.
Yeah, you watch it like 10 times.
Yeah, we recently rewatched Shawshank Redemption, and I was like, I remember every moment of this movie because I wore out that tape. So I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I think that's something you just did growing up, you know. Mm.
You watched such adult movies when you were a kid.
Yeah, Shawshank is not a child's movie. There's like adult rape.
Yes.
In prison rape.
Yeah, but okay, but I'm standing firm that kids are stronger than you give them credit for. Like I turned out okay, I think. So. I mean, the thing is, I wish I could talk more about Rockadoodle. I haven't seen a single frame of this movie.
Yeah, I didn't know this movie existed until Aaron started talking about it nonstop since we started the podcast. And this is what, 3 years later? Three and a half years later, we're finally watching it. Mm-hmm. Are you happy now?
I guess we'll see at the end of Rockadoodle.
All right. Well, let's go watch Rockadoodle, and we'll talk to y'all more about it in a minute. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Dillon.
Hi, I'm Kevin Dillon.
And we're the hosts of Fake Headlines Podcast.
Each week, Tiffany and I bring three headlines to the mic, making the other guess which ones are fakes and which ones are reals.
Here are a few headlines from past episodes.
Store caught sticking googly eyes on fish to make them look fresh.
Woman marries 300-year-old ghost because she couldn't find a human husband.
Religious leader named Penis Baba pulls car 100 feet using only his manhood while stunned crowds watch.
Woman finds pickled toad during house renovation.
Disney Star Wars park to sell Ewoks. Furry pedometers.
Which articles are real and which ones are fake? Catch up now on Fake Headlines Podcast.
We're available on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Laughable, and or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You can also go straight to fakeheadlinespodcast.com.
Follow us on Twitter at @FakeHeadPod or Facebook and Instagram at Fake Headlines Podcast.
Bye.
Okie dokie, we have finished the tale of Chanticleer.
Chanticleer!
In Rockadoodle. It is so many thoughts about this movie. We open with like maybe the longest period of narration we've ever experienced in a VCR kids movie. It just kept going on and on, the narration. And threw in my favorite thing, a really like pivotal action scene, just completely covered over by narration.
Yeah. This movie for me was like the true VCR kids movie where I had like vague memories and I started watching this thing and I was like, oh yeah. Oh my God. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's like when those back files in your brain bank keep getting opened and like rifled through, like you can like feel it occurring as you watch this stupid movie. But it was just like a huge nostalgia bomb. Even though it stunk, like I still kind of liked it because I remember liking it when I was a kid.
I think the thing that surprised me the most about this movie, I thought I would hate the music the most out of anything in this movie. Mm. And it ended up being the thing I liked the most. Was the music.
All the music.
All of it.
The music.
All of it. It
was, even when the owls were all singing.
I mean,
the organ.
The owls were creepy.
Yeah, they were creepy.
They were unsettling. Duke. Duke was, he wanted to eat everyone.
The
apparently.
Duke. Yeah,
as owls do. But
he can breathe on people and transform them.
Yeah, he's very magical.
There's a lot of
magic.
He can
keep growing.
Because Chanticleer was kind of magic too. You just didn't know.
Yeah. So there's this part in the story in the beginning where, or in the movie in the beginning, where the narration is kind of just describing this whole thing about Chanticleer crowing every morning and bringing the sun up, and then all the farm animals find out that he's not really bringing it up, and so he gets sad and leaves. And then we find out that that's in a book, and we have real people in the movie, and this, like, I was shook when this happened.
Yeah.
Because we've seen a lot of Don Bluth movies, and this movie started out with all the signs of just like every other Don Bluth movie we've seen. There were chickens with big boobs. There were...
Oh, yeah.
There were, like, all the characters looked like a Don Bluth movie. Like they had his kind of signature style.
And then we just see that people finger coming out of nowhere.
Shook. Yeah. I was shook.
I don't know if you want to jump to the very end. I was shook at the end where they totally embraced it. And little, what's his name? I called him...
Edmund.
God.
Was it Edmund?
I think that's right. Yeah, he's doing cartwheels with the animation. I went, oh man, this thing can be over now. Like this,
yeah,
that's enough.
Yeah, he looks like short. He's like a less charismatic Jonathan Lipnicki.
Yeah. this movie was so weird. so, gosh, what was I gonna say?
So, they're in this world where the sun's not coming up and it's never stopping to rain.
Yeah, okay. This is...
Because the owls want to live in darkness the whole time because they're afraid of light.
Didn't the farm animals kick Chanticleer off?
Yeah, they taunted him and then he left.
Yeah, they're like, you didn't make this happen. Get out of here. And I was like, rude. Oh.
Yeah, wow. So rude. Also, what I don't understand... This is what I don't understand. He really does bring up the sun. So, right, in the beginning, when that other rooster, the violent one with, like, the knives and it has, like, spurs. It has, like, knives on it.
It wasn't a rooster.
What was it?
They said, I don't remember.
Well, whatever the heck it was.
He was a spy from the owls.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, he shows up and... Then, they're acting like this is in the real world and the sun's going to come up anyway, whether or not Chanticleer crows. And it does come up. But if he's the one that makes it come up, then why did it go back down?
Well, then it went back down because there wasn't...
How did it come up?
It just came up because it was used to it, and then it's all, oh, no, Chanticleer song, and went away.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Was it just like, whoa?
It's a stupid movie.
Yeah, it did not go into detail at all about this. It just went,
I don't understand. Yeah, how is this working? if it tricked him, and then they're like, no, it hasn't come up since you left. What the heck happened?
Well, then we also find out that the storybook world is creeping into the real world because it's like flooding at the farm and
the levees are breaking, which really means their whole farm should be underwater.
If all the sandbags. Breaks,
that's just that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a song about that.
And I mean, that's the crux of the movie, right? That he feels powerless, that he's not out there helping. And then he turns into a little
cat,
a little kitten boy, which is even more emasculating or whatever. And but then he has confidence and he becomes the hero, just like Chanticleer.
Right.
How nice.
Speaking of emasculating, there's a character whose character trait is to be constantly sexist.
Oh, the Daffy Duck thing, whatever that was.
Was it
a Woody Woodpecker?
Woody Woodpecker, Daffy Duck.
It's like
weird
a
thing.
Mocking.
It's a magpie.
Magpie. That's what.
But
he
definitely has a woodpecker streak.
Yeah.
When he's in that trunk.
Yeah, he just constantly says sexist things. He's like, "Go back and be a mousewife and make cheese."
Well, but the thing that's nice is that Jeepers was like, okay, that's enough of your crap. There's at least a response to that nonsense.
Definitely.
And also, like, no one likes him.
Yeah, I just, like, couldn't fathom them being like, the character trait for him, his little goofaroo, is that he is overtly sexist.
Right.
Like, that's what I don't get.
You couldn't understand that when you've seen all of the boobs in all the Don Bluth movies?
Yeah.
There's also another big Don Bluth trope, which I didn't realize was a Don Bluth trope until this movie. But like animals in water, like drowning in water or like trying to get out of the water. Like that whole scene where it was flooding and they were trying to get in the trunk and get out was exactly like scenes in the Fievel movies and exactly like scenes in like All Dogs Go to Heaven. And
yeah,
he loves throwing animals in water.
This movie is actually surprisingly dark. I mean, it's stormy the majority of the movie. So by the end of this, I was like, man, this was a creepy little movie all around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You even have like the bouncers for Chanticleer being like these
toads,
like creepy toad bouncer things.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
One of them got this look on his face and I was like, what the heck is that? I think I looked to Jay and I was like, that's like the face all my students make when they're about to be naughty in the classroom. They get this little like smirk, like, I'm gonna get you.
There's a few scenes and I don't think that it's our TV that was having the issue. I think it's the movie, but there was like a few scenes where it seemed like almost like the sync of the like animation cells were off. Like it got really like fuzzy and blurry.
Yeah. I was getting it where it's like gyrating quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were definitely scenes in here that kind of made me like a little bit seasick, especially when they were like chasing, doing like the car chases and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And some of the water stuff.
Yeah, this was classic Don Bluth because it was just once it really got going, it didn't stop until the end of the movie. It was
so hectic too.
Like when Jeepers, they thought she died, and then whose eyeball did we go inside? Was it Edmund's?
I texted y'all that. I saw it. Like, I'm just kind of watching, like, whoa. And then I don't even know what I just saw. Like, you just kind of shake your head, like, what the hell? Just, he went inside his eyeball. And like,
then he saw her as a ghost.
In his brain cavity.
In some sort of purgatory.
In his brain.
And he yells.
It was exactly like that scene when in Harry Potter.
What?
Where he's talking to Dumbledore at King's Cross Station.
It's exactly like that.
Not like that.
I can see where Rowling got the inspiration.
And when he's like, I'm going back for Jeepers. And then they all start frantically climbing the water tower. I was like, hold the phone. He just said, I bet she landed up there. So then they all start frantically like climbing up this rickety water tower that they're all about to plummet to their deaths off of, and they have no confirmation that Jeepers is up there.
Like, I'm all for taking this movie apart, but you're doing it in a way that's like applying logic to like an already ridiculous movie. There's so many crazier things that happen.
And then she comes out of nowhere with the plane, the chopper thing.
I mean, we didn't even... Here's the thing. I think this is indicative of the movie. Is that the weakest part, in my opinion, is that this movie isn't about the rooster.
Right.
He doesn't really have an arc. It's the kid. But no one cares. I didn't really care about the kid. It's like the movie should have been about that rooster. Right. And it wasn't. And there was the thing about like the love interest, right?
It was like that was a scene.
That was like a weird thing where he's like, hey, go
be
a woman and get his heart. And that was a weird thing.
And it literally which only applied.
The Goldie is voiced by Aubrey from Little Shop of Horrors, or Audrey.
But it literally only applied for literally half a scene because they showed them up at his house like cooing over each other, and they kept interrupting. It
wasn't half a scene. She did it in the thing where she stole the airplane.
Well, like no, and then they were at his house, like, and then they were in the movie,
and then
their relationship. They barely talked. And they kept interrupting it with the other animals.
I mean, this movie was 77 minutes. There was barely any...
Not complaining.
No, no. Not a complaint. But like, it didn't linger too long on too much.
No,
except that owl scene. That owl scene did linger. The Bach scene.
Yeah. I will say, like, if you're watching this for free, like, we watched it for free on Amazon... It's like fine for it to be 77 minutes, but I'm just thinking like if I'd gone and paid for this, or if you know what I mean, that would be annoying.
If we had to pay for this, we would not be recording this episode.
I can't even imagine like $4 plus tax for this.
Yeah, but it's so short. Like, I don't know. You make up your own mind about what you want to spend your hard earned money on, but.
Okay, what were you... Okay, question. Because I was getting some very serious vibes in the like the big finale scene where the owl is like growing and causing a tornado and all this stuff.
And his eyes become slits.
If you guys... If y'all had to compare the vibe of that scene to a Disney movie, what would you pick? Not to the whole movie, but to like a part of a Disney movie.
Oh, geez. I'm drawing a blank, but I know there's a couple of movies where the bad guy at the end gets very large.
And, like, a Little grows. Mermaid.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It felt very like Little Mermaid-esque to me.
Yeah.
But what was weird was when I like lost it, I couldn't keep a straight face when they started going... Chanticleer, Chanticleer, Chanticleer.
Also because like you could tell that none of these people who did the voices were together doing them because they all pronounced his name differently when they were chanting it.
Oh yeah. Well, that was another thing, like the sound mixing, classic Don Bluth. Like, I think that's what makes these movies slightly unsettling for me, especially a movie like this that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. You just know these people are in a sound booth. Talking to each other because it's so quiet otherwise. There's no ambient noise and it's weird and I don't...
And there's always like the one wisecracking bad guy who talks really fast and is way lower of volume than everyone else.
Right? You know, I will say I think all the voice actors did a really good job. Like they were all acting their sweet little hearts out and that made this movie like passable because if they hadn't been... Like, I don't know. It just would have been chaos.
Yeah, the Edmund, at first I didn't care for him. It sounded like he had
I did
crap
not like him
mouth.
As a real boy. Did not like him as a real boy.
Right, but once he
loved
became
him
the
as
little...
A character.
Yeah, the kitten, I liked that. It fit.
Yeah.
And Christopher Plummer was great. And
everyone did a good job. Who is the owl?
Christopher Plummer.
Oh, he was the owl?
Yes.
Oh, okay. The Duke. And who was the nephew of the Duke? He had a very familiar voice.
I have no idea. But
he was pretty pathetic character.
Yeah, he was so pathetic.
He was my least favorite character in the movie. Like his gimmick of like all the A words. Got old so fast.
Oh yeah, he was all about that alliteration for sure. What was the thing about the gate? What, not the gate, was it the gate? It was like
the aqueduct.
The aqueduct. It was adequate. Yeah, I don't know. The more we talk about this movie, because I think it propelled itself so much there was barely a dull moment. But now that we're discussing it,
Never want to see it again.
Maybe I'm liking it less as we talk about it more. I think as an experience, you just go, okay. And then you're like, all right, I can do that. And then you go on with your life.
Honestly, I think this is probably one of the stronger Don Bluth movies we've seen. Just like, at least as far as like the quality of it and like being able to understand most of what's going on. I think there's a lot of things that we don't like about the movies of his that we've revisited that show up in this as well. But I think it's the most like tangible one as far as like a movie, like an animation movie.
Right.
That being said, it's the most bonkers story, and like, after you finish watching it, like you kind of walk away with a feeling of like, well, I'm never getting that 77 minutes back in my life again.
I'm not the biggest fan of like, I feel like there's some other movies, childhood movies, where the kid wakes up and it's like, hey, Billy, wake up. And then it's like, was it a dream? I'm not a huge fan of that ending. Maybe I didn't care as a kid, but as a grown adult now, I'm not a huge, it's not a very satisfying ending.
Well, but then we find out it wasn't a dream because then he does somersaults with the cartoons.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Never mind. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know how to feel before. I kind of still don't know how to feel. Because I did feel kind of entertained watching it. Like, it wasn't like I want to pull my hair out watching this thing. But it's not good.
I do want to specify, you're right, Jay. I think the Glenn Campbell songs, like, he can actually sing really well. So it's not...
Not the owls.
No.
Yeah, the Elvis impersonation songs were pretty good.
Yeah. The fact that he was like pretending to be Elvis. I don't know. They sexualized these birds so much. Like so much. I don't know. It was almost kind of like Howard the Duck-esque. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
There's like a boob. There's like a duck with like boobs in Howard.
I've never seen that movie.
I tried to watch it one time and I just couldn't handle it. I only got like 10 minutes in. I just couldn't handle it.
I don't know. I thought this was pretty tame. I mean, it's creepy in parts, but
yeah,
I
think you're like, it's not, there are definitely, especially Don Bluth movies that are more intense or like more adult. And I think there were a few parts where it was just kind of like, like, oh my god, he's like trying to stab these people, or like they're talking about literally talking about murder.
Oh, like, yeah, when that the nephew pulls out a knife at one point and it's like shining like he's gonna go stab them, I was like, are you freaking kidding?
But like, you know, with the Don Bluth, like with All Dogs Go to Heaven, you have smoking and gambling, and I think if the biggest vice of Chanticleer's boss was that he golfed. Right? Like, that's not bad.
I mean, and he had those little toadies, literal toadies, that he was like, I don't know. There's a lot of like weird, like, it's really weird that he tried to set Goldie up as almost, he almost like pimped her out to Chanticleer to like.
Almost?
Yeah, he did.
That's exactly what happened.
He did. And then, I don't know. It was just like, he seemed to be shady in more ways than one. So.
Yeah. But then Goldie liked him. It was Pinky? Love. And the dog was like, okay, that's the big thing, right? The narration in this movie.
Oh, God.
Because it would go away for a minute and then he'd start yapping again. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I forgot this weird
dog's telling this story.
Yeah, it's weird that the dog was telling the story. And I could not, the whole movie, I was like, what is his name? What is his name? What are they saying?
Is it Pateau?
Patou. His name Patou? Is Patou. Patou. Patou, everyone. Patou. Patou.
And he had like, he was kind of human, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like that. He was.
I don't know, y'all.
He had like an upper body. He was always up. It was, yeah. Yeah. Poor guy. Couldn't tie his shoes. Couldn't tie his shoes.
Couldn't figure it out. It seemed like he was the arch rival of the owl in a way. Like he was like the farm elder almost. Like he seemed to be leading the farm animals around. And then the owls, they really didn't like him, Patu. They're like, don't do that, Patu.
Because he bit them.
Yeah. But I don't know. The owl seemed to like acknowledge him in a way.
I know y'all said during the intro that his name was, what is it? I've already said it and forgot it. Chanticleer.
Chanticleer.
I think the biggest shame is that his name wasn't Rockadoodle. I think that's a better name.
Well, he's the Canterbury Tail Rooster.
I'm sure this was, other than that, I mean, this is an extremely accurate portrayal of that story, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was all about singing to bring the sun up.
I feel like, do you remember what happens in the actual tale, Jay?
No. I don't know.
You don't know, Jay?
No. Oh, it's Chanticleer and the Fox. Let's see. Oops.
Well, we don't have time to go through this right now, Aaron.
Absolutely not.
So, do you guys think that Rockadoodle holds up?
No.
Aaron,
I think this is the first time you've ever thought a movie you brought to the table doesn't hold up.
That is not true. That's not true.
Okay, name another.
I said Wild America didn't really hold up. I said it could have, but it didn't.
That's true.
All right, fine. Richard, what do you think?
I did enjoy this more than Last Unicorn. I don't know. Maybe I just like Glenn Campbell more somewhere inside me. This is as good of a movie as this could have been. I think this is the best Don Bluth could have done with this, and I appreciate that. I don't think I'll ever see it again. But if you did enjoy this as a kid, I think you probably... It's worth rewatching at the very least.
Right.
I think I'm in a similar boat. I think my expectations for this were so, so, so low that it was not as bad as I thought it would be. But I never want to watch it again. it definitely had enough weirdness in it and like insanity that it kind of made it enjoyable to watch, but it's not something I want to revisit at all. But it's interesting. I think if you're in Aaron's shoes where you remember having watched it and you don't remember anything about it.
And you can get it for free.
Yeah, don't pay for it. It's so funny how like, and I know we've watched a lot of Don Bluth movies and talked about him a lot. But it is so funny to me every time I think about it, about like, I loved so many of his movies as a child. Like, I loved the Fievel movies. I loved Land Before Time. And then we watch them now and we're just like, these are not good.
Land Before Time wasn't full Don Bluth, though. It was Steven Spielberg also.
Yeah, and it was still not good.
I don't think it's as bad as you think.
Okay. I'm not going to watch it again to prove that wrong. You can go back and listen to the episode.
I think Disney just does a good job with sound mixing. I mean, I was really listening for that this time because we've seen enough of his movies. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, like there's just very odd moments, odd transitions.
Except not on that new Lion King, pals. I was like agitated in the theater.
Okay. That was the theater problem, not the...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the theater problem.
Yes, it was.
I was expecting a glorious, like, sound masterpiece because it's freaking Lion King, and it wasn't. They made the song so quiet. The end.
Well, the songs in this movie were not quiet. So. No,
they were not. They were not.
Well, Any other final thoughts y'all have about Rockadoodle?
How many more Don Bluth movies do we have?
Oh, there are so many. There's like a Troll in Central Park. There's a Secret made? Of Nim. There's like something about these like badgers in a meadow. Yeah.
The Wind in the Willows?
No. And there's also Thumbelina, the Don Bluth Thumbelina.
Oh, yeah.
With the Charo frog.
I was actually, we usually talk about this in the pre-roll, but when we were watching the movie and the credits came up, the screenwriter, David N. Weiss, I was like, I feel like I know this name. I feel like I've heard it before. He wrote the screenplays for such classics as Shrek 2, Are We There Yet, and The Smurfs.
Wow.
And Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius.
Wow.
And All Dogs Go to Heaven. I don't know why that wasn't in there.
Oh, yay, yay.
So,
there's that.
I'll forever associate Don Bluth like with this podcast, because I loved All Dogs Go to Heaven, and that was just not the movie I remembered. And I should have known so early on in this podcast that the rest of the time here was going to be just a disillusionment of my childhood. But here we go. Continue. What film is this?
I don't know, but you picked
159
Fifth Element.
I'm done. Yeah, sneak peek right for next week. But like I'm only going to get some good ones for the moment. I need some good movies. So.
Well, I know which one I'm going to pick, but I'm not saying it here because it could be 3 weeks from now. We don't know.
All right.
We put them in a randomizer.
All right. Well.
Wow. That's some Patreon material right there. Peek behind the scenes.
All right. Well, we will talk to y'all more next week with, as has already been spoiled, The Fifth Element. So watch it now if you don't want us to ruin it for you. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. It just doesn't have to do with the movie that we're watching. So I just wanted to say that I learned that they are making Hocus Pocus number 2 officially. Yeah. And all the original cast has signed back on to do it.
You're right. That has nothing to do with the movie that we're watching.
So I just wanted to let people know.
Jay, are you going to keep this in there?
It's VCR Kids news for sure.
Breaking news. Breaking right into Jay's intro.
Well, I was trying to time it right and I got it wrong and there's a lag on Zoom and I do what I can.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
.com.